Welcome to the Drama Therapy Collection podcast. This podcast is part of a series on drama therapy in prisons. All interviews are conducted by Cameron Afari, Elizabeth Malone, Lynn Baker Newman, and Marianne Shrine. The Drama Therapy in Prisons Collection is an open access online oral history archive of recorded interviews with drama therapists who worked in carceral settings and formerly incarcerated individuals who participated in those programs. For more information about all hosts and guests, please visit the links in the podcast bio. Today's guest is Spoon Jackson. This special episode of the Drama Therapy Collection is on the creative healing work of Spoon Jackson during incarceration. Jackson is a renowned poet and performer serving a life sentence in California. The program is in two parts. Part one is a documentary presentation by Lynn Baker-Nauman on the healing aspects of Spoon's therapeutic performance in a production of Waiting for Godot and his other creative endeavors. This part was presented in 2021 at the annual conference of the European Drama Therapy Association under the theme of Who is Godot? Part two is an interview with Spoon Jackson conducted over the phone in July 2022.
Hi, I'm Lynn Baker-Nauman, a registered drama therapist, marriage and family therapist associate, and professor of social work human services at Folsom Lake College. And I'm presenting to you for the European Federation of Drama Therapists, Who is Godot? In May 2021. So we've been curious this question for decades. Who is Godot? Perhaps the answer to the question is found in prisons. Perhaps Beckett did not intend for Waiting for Godot to mirror the plight of the incarcerated, but somehow it does. It is relatable on many levels: the mundane, the repetition, the unknown, the volatile visitors with power over, and the unknown messengers that do not really tell you anything useful that you need to hear. In prison, there are thousands of men and women that fall into that category of waiting. Today, I would like to invite you on a journey to see how the act of waiting is a constant in prisons. I would like to introduce you to a man you see on the right here who understands the process of waiting all too well. He has been waiting.
I am a lifer. I live beyond the walls. My body can they catch behind walls, but never my soul, spirit, and mind.
Poem by Spoon Jackson. So this man was born and raised in a tiny town of Barstow, California, the desert. And as Judith Tannenbaum, his poetry teacher and co-author of the book By Heart, explains, Spoon, for example, was a little boy with a rich imagination. He lay on sand dunes and looked up at the sky. He pondered what adventures the rainbows above might lead to. Spoon was curious at home in the physical world, and open to learning. Yet adults at his school didn't see or relate to that little boy. The Spoon they noticed received paddlings instead of encouragement, and negative predictions instead of discovery. So Spoon's upbringing created a quiet and thoughtful kid, like this picture here. And as Spoon describes, pre-prison, my life had never been one of words. I could barely read, and I spoke as my father did to me, in one-word sentences, shrugs, or by nodding my head. In prison, Spoon's hunger for knowledge led him to books, and his curiosity found the arts. It awoke in him his creative self, and he became an artist, a poet, an actor, a writer, a teaching artist, and most recently, a podcaster. He found that part of himself through the creative theater process inside of prison. And maybe he would have found it elsewhere in his life, but he was not given the opportunity. But through theater and his incidental experience with drama therapy, he found a way to connect to his creative side by searching, seeking, and waiting for Godot. So how has this one man's life been affected by participating in a year-long theater adventure? Well, the story begins in 1988, 10 years after the start of Spoon Jackson's life sentence. A renowned Swedish director, Jan Jansson, was given permission by Samuel Beckett to stage Waiting for Godot at San Quentin State Prison. with a cast of all men inside. So side note that it was first produced and shown at San Quentin in the 50s, but there was an outside cast that brought it in. So this was the first time that in the States ever to be produced with inside actors, actors that were imprisoned. So this experience changed many lives, but specifically the path of Spoon Jackson. So the man that you see on the right of the picture here, he was cast as Pazzo, the character that has power over and struggles with keeping and identifying with his power. So when cast, Spoon had recently found his voice via the pen writing poetry. But as his first theater experience, he benefited from the unintentional drama therapy and found his literal voice. And being in the production of Waiting for Godot sparked the power of connection, community, and empathy. And as his character Pazzo began to discover his own power and how the role of Pazzo and Lucky began to merge and connect and become one. So much of what he sees as his creative growth happened through the drama therapy process for Spoon. Through the process he created his character, he found the community, this Pazzo community. He mentioned the camaraderie, the connection that he found with these other famous actors that played Pazzo. He met F. Murray Abraham, who attended the San Quentin production prior to performing it on Broadway with Steve Martin and Robin Williams. And Spoon also received letters from the Broadway actor who played Pazzo, John Goodman from the TV show Roseanne in 2009, and Bill Irwin, who played Lucky in 1988, and then Vladimir in the 2009 production. He also saw Spoon play Pazzo in San Quentin, and they've been corresponding ever since. So through the Beckett world, he has found a theater community and an international family. Through this connection, he found and met a lot of important people in his life and made many contacts. And his poetry has been shared via song, famous composers and songwriters, and he has been the subject of multiple documentaries. So here we see the cast photo, and then here is his bio in the playbill that I'll read out to you. Being in this play and growing into my part have enabled me to see the realness of the lines. And once in the flow, the lines just come naturally during everyday life. And that's when you feel the realness, because the truth in the play comes up while living. This truth is universal. Tragedy and humor existing within the same moment. Love and hate sharing the same space. Pazzo is a lonely man with a lot of physical, material power who takes his self-worth from being mean and inhumane, treating people like animals. As human beings, we all have one foot in light and one foot in darkness. Jan Janssen knew right away that the actors were connecting to the play and the process deeper than he saw other actors elsewhere. And Jan was very familiar with the play because he first played the character of the boy in Sweden when he was 14. And then later in his professional career, he played Estragon. And Jan's quote here says that in San Quentin, the actors are not just acting, it is their own lives transforming into the play. So it's true that the indication he saw of the therapeutic aspect right away. And as we look deeply at the script and then at the carceral setting, we can see the psychological similarities between the characters Vladimir, Didi, and Estragon, Gogo. Beckett did not know how his play would be received inside a prison, but as twin James here is about to describe who played Didi, it was an impeccable mirror of their lives inside there. And this is a true quote that Samuel Beckett asked Jan, what happened to my play when you gave it to people living in the darkness? What happened with the rhythm, the silence of my play? And I'll share this quote, this clip with you.
Each day that you live in prison, you're waiting on something. You're waiting to talk to these canines about a phone call that you never may get. You wait on a letter that you may never get. You wait for a release date that may never get there, providing you have a lifetime, which each one of us have. So life means forever, you know what I'm saying? So
the men and women are serving time in the U.S. prison system face the same dark reality, the same quests as the characters in Waiting for Godot.
Each day that
So this next clip, Jan Janssen is commenting on life imitating art, art imitating life. And then we see a clip from the rehearsal of Waiting for Godot in 1988 with Spoon as Pazzo.
I mean, it's so many different things happening every day. Every day. Big things, small things.
We were standing up by the office, and I saw this escort
in an orange suit with chains around their feet where they can take very short steps, and there's a chain around their stomach, and the hands are locked up to the stomach. And then my guy say, that's the play, and that is Pozzonacchi.
Let me go. Stay where you are.
Be careful. He's wicked with strangers.
Is that him?
Who? Godot?
Who is Godot?
Oh, he's a kind of acquaintance.
Nothing of the kind. We hardly know him.
True. We don't know him very well. But all the same.
Personally, I wouldn't know him even if I saw him.
You took me for him?
Well, that's to say, you understand. The dust, the strain, waiting, I confess, I imagine, for a second.
Waiting? So you're waiting for him?
Well, you see,
here on my land.
We didn't intend any harm.
We meant well. Road is free to all.
That's how we looked at it.
It's a disgrace, but there you are.
So in Spoon, here on the right, playing Pazzo, his reflection looking back on this experience he shared, it was great to play Pazzo, and I saw him at first as a slave driver, but then as a ploy, and as the dialogue progressed, I understood Lucky had taught him wonderful things, and that he could have once been Pazzo, and Pazzo could have once been Lucky. Because one of Pazzo's lines were, guess who taught me all of these wonderful things? My Lucky. So Spoon connected the important element of empathy, a drama therapy tool, by sharing his deep understanding of his character and the relationship between Pazzo and Lucky. And as Spoon shared further, it was cathartic and enlightening to play Pazzo and have total power over another human being. But also Pazzo realized that he could be Lucky, and that scared him. Some correctional officers think they have total power when they really don't. So understanding this correlation of the power play between the correctional officers and people that are incarcerated is an important element of survival. Seeing the similarities as humans is a vital survival technique inside of prison. So more on Spoon. He had many creative mentors along the way within his 43 years of incarceration. And one was this mentor here, two-time Grammy winner and Emmy-nominated Mary Youngblood, who taught him how to play the Native American flute. And Spoon shared, one of my heroes, Mary Youngblood, got me started. And I would love to show her now how I sound, since she got me started many years ago. So I'll share with you a clip of him playing his flute. You'll see him sitting on the left of the stage here. So 30 years after Waiting for Godot, Spoon Jackson shows up at Solano State Prison, where I'm working and directing, helping to direct As You Like It. And after many transfers throughout the whole Department of Corrections system in California, I was honored to meet him and then work with him. So after one of the, he just transferred over to here, and it was near the end of the rehearsal period, we had no more lines or no more roles with lines, and he was more than happy to play his flute, because since he showed up with his flute every day, and in his normal manner, he was quite quiet in class and enjoyed just playing. So the following year, Spoon decided to take on a speaking role. It was my honor to direct him his first Shakespeare production of Cymbeline.
Such a crafty devil as his mother should yield this world, this ass. Her son cannot take 2 from 20 and leave 18. Alas, poor princess, my divine Imogen, what thou endures, the heavens hold firm. The walls of thy dear honor keep unshaken. Thy temple, thy fine mind, that thou may turn to enjoy the banished lord in this great land.
So since his first theater experience, Spoon has become, 30 years ago, an award-winning published poet, an author, podcaster, flute player, teacher, and now Shakespearean actor. So as a drama therapist, I was able to weave in the therapeutic exercises in our weekly class sessions to enhance the connection with the themes and the characters from Shakespeare. So we explored how theater inspired Spoon to reflect on the healing wounds from his past. So in this next photo, I'll share with you, this here captures the playful side of Spoon, as you'll see in the smile here, and reminds me of a laugh that we shared. So while in Shakespeare class, I often found him in the hallway looking outside the small window of this heavy locked metal door. And one time I saw him in the hallway and I followed him out and asked him where his mirror partner was, because that's the exercise we were doing at the time. And he shared this same sly smile here and proceeded to look into the window and do the mirror exercise on his own reflection in the window. So there were very few moments that Spoon let his guard down and shared his playful side, and this was one of them. He said, yes, I remember the mirror exercise looking out the window, and I was pleased you laughed. So this extraordinary, talented man is still housed inside of CDCR, California Department of Correctional and Rehabilitation. He recently survived a devastating case of COVID-19 and was hospitalized and is now healing and back to writing his poetry and waiting for his next creative endeavor. So a Spoon is ready to be released and from prison and live a life of freedom. He looks forward to performing with Jan in his current one-man show entitled Moment of Reality. And this is a picture here where Jan talks to this life-size poster of Spoon, and he also has a life-size poster of Beckett. And although there is no release date for Spoon, he has mirrored a life very similar to Pazzo, and not just waiting like the other characters and waiting for Godot, but he has made life happen and has chosen to participate in life. And he also has similarities to the character of Lucky, since he does not currently have a choice of where to live, but he has chosen to participate fully. He allows his creativity to be as free as possible. And Spoon has chosen to not be stuck in his own internal prison, but allows his soul to be free. Spoon has found his existence. And as Estragon states in Waiting for Godot, we always find something, eh, Didi, to let us think we exist. And one of his newer creative endeavors to remind him of his existence. And in this photo here is Spoon producing the podcast Uncuffed at Solano State Prison. So when a Spoon says all rehabilitation is self-rehabilitation, meaning it is up to the individual to determine what is next for them. So as drama therapists, we can provide tools to facilitate rehabilitation, but it is up to the participants to take the opportunity. And as Spoon shared, I think all the arts are therapeutic, especially poetry, drama, and music. And they overlap at times. 33 years since Godot. I am waiting and not waiting, living in the moment. So I would like to leave you with the final thought that Godot is healing. The healing is what we are all waiting for. And it's up to us to either wait or take action. So what or who are those stuck in prison waiting for? Everything and nothing. There is a constant unknown of what is next, and yet those imprisoned need to accept the uncertainty in order to survive. And they have to choose to survive. Spoon Jackson has chosen to survive, and he has chosen to heal. It is a choice. So I propose that Godot is a concept synonymous with healing. And I'll leave you with this last poem by Spoon, just wrote a few weeks ago, called Heal. Didn't get there.
Heal. Like a heart that keeps giving, I must keep believing in the power of healing. Sometimes I grind down so hard on my teeth, I crack them during the night. I must wear a tooth guard at night. Sometimes a long and deep cry alone or with a loved one will open your eyes, your heart, to the power of healing. Like a heart that keeps giving, I must keep believing in the power of healing. Sometimes just a smile, a hug, a kiss, or a hello will heal the soul. Sometimes a book, letter, a song, poem, or dream, or loss of a loved one will open your eyes, your heart. Sometimes a long silence, solitude, a stream, a tree, a meadow, a long howl, or a swallow song will open your eyes, your heart, to the power of healing. I don't know what or who I have not forgiven, and I know there's something that needs healing like a heart that keeps giving. I must keep believing. I must keep believing in the power of healing. These commentary heal like a heart.
Sorry, I'm trying to say that there. So we must keep believing in the power of healing. And this is a song by Annie DeFranco, wrote the music to Spoon's poetry. This is called Nowhere But Barstow on the recent Pizen Music Project.
Sidewinder Valley, been down Dead Man's Alley. I slipped down Beale in the heart of town. Been locked up for so long.
Thank you all so very much for this opportunity.
You have been listening to the Drama Therapy Collection podcast, part of a series on drama therapy in prisons. You can listen to a new episode every Thursday on all major podcast platforms, or you can watch the video recordings of all interviews on the Drama Therapy Collection YouTube channel.